This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Diz, roll it. It's 3-point stance time.
319!
118!
118!
118's a hot!
Yeah, there you go!
What's that?
It's the 3-point stance.
I'm going to count to three.
Tatum puts up a three. Bam!
Easy as 1, 2, 3.
Pastrnak! A hat trick! And a 4-3 Boston lead.
Three!
WEEI Afternoons.
I'm not even going to try to recreate the magic that is Dan Ball's lead in to the 3-point stance. He's a play-by-play guy. He knows lacrosse, baseball, and hockey. He does it all.
But wildly talented.
Absolutely. I will tell you today's 3-point stance is brought to you by Jeffrey Glassman, Injury Lawyers, Boston's go-to injury attorney for over 30 years. If you've been hurt in a car accident or work accident, got to get Glassman. Call all sevens. I've been wanting to do this, though. 617-777-7777. Courtesy of Joe Castiglione.
Seven!
As we do every day at 3 o'clock, we have three hosts with 3 points, something that they are hot and bothered about, something they want to get off their chest. You get 1 minute per host. There is a buzzer. There is a clock. And we go in order of me and then Fitzy and Ted Johnson.
You're doing good, Todd. Yeah.
So, Stiz, I'm going to lead us off. I am indeed ready, so would you start my clock now?
All right, it begins now, Andrew.
Celtics begin tonight at 7 o'clock, TD Garden, and they need a bounce-back effort. And I think there is not a must-win game. We'll get into that later. But I think there's one person most of the world will be fixating on to lead them into a bounce-back effort, and I think it rhymes with JT.
Luke Cornett.
No. And there's one person that at least I will be focused on because I think he is the energy, the effort, and the attitude of the Boston Celtics. He's often also mic'd up, so sometimes you get to hear what he says. Jaylen Brown, your NBA Finals MVP, your Eastern Conference Finals MVP. I think he was pissed the other night. How they handled themselves, how they executed, the comment about launching up threes and the flow of the game. I think he wasn't happy with his own defensive performance. That was also part of it. So, JB, I don't want to hear you talk post-game. I want to see you do it in-game for 4 quarters. Get your ass out there and be the lightning rod, be the injection of energy and effort and attitude. And if that means taking it in the paint, playing on 2 feet, as Scal says, taking it to the rim, dunking, I don't care. Don't shoot threes. That's not your game. Shoot an elbow jumper. Build the momentum for the Celtics. They need you tonight, JB. It's playoff time. It's JB time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What if his coach tells him to foist as many three-pointers as he possibly can?
Who makes more money?
Okay, so you're advocating for an insurrection, mutiny in the garden.
As are you, because I heard you the other day bitching about the threes, and the threes come from the head coach. So if JB thinks better, do better.
I got a good little stat nug for you on JB, but we'll save that until after we've all gone.
All right, now I'm out of the stance mode, and I'm back into the host mode. Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, the next 3-point stance belongs to, who goes second?
That's Fitzy.
Fitzy! I thought it was Fitzy, but I wasn't sure. So Fitzy, are you ready?
I am indeed prepared.
Okay, your 60 seconds starts right now.
It's not going to be about Jason Tatum, tempting as it was, because I expect greatness from him and many other Celtics tonight. No, I'm going to speak of this NFL trade that was consecrated earlier this morning when the Pittsburgh Steelers traded the wide receiver that your New England Patriots should have drafted back in 2022 instead of Tyquan Thornton. That would be George Pickens, a tall outside X target who wins a lot of 50-50 matchups and perhaps still has talent that is yet untapped. But you do have to ask yourself the question, okay, so they got DK Metcalf in the offseason. Why do they want to get rid of George Pickens so badly? And the reason why you, New England Patriots fans, shouldn't worry about George Pickens going elsewhere for but a third and a fifth round pick if he could truly be a wide receiver number one is because he is not a culture fit. I will point out how many times players have been traded away, as Boar Sports points out on Twitter. Steelers, famous for trading away players that immediately crash out when out of Tomlin's orbit, but Pats fans are baffled as to why a rebuilding team focused on culture building wouldn't trade a day two draft pick for George Pickens. Oh, and by the way, you got Kyle Williams, who's a high character guy. And check out Pro Football Talk, talking about the fact that everyone in the building is in love with Steph Diggs. We're fine.
Everybody loves Steph Diggs in the beginning. It's the end when they don't.
We'll see.
Good enough for me right now.
What are the Steelers doing? You talk about a program that has lost its way, is the Pittsburgh Steelers. Are you kidding me?
Five words. Ready, Ted? Here it comes. Mike Tomlin's first losing season.
Yeah, maybe. It may be. It's just they have no answer at quarterback, and the team that needed wide receivers just traded away one of the good ones. So it's interesting.
But Alan Lazard will save the day.
Yeah. All right, we'll get back to that. You guys know how this works. You're not supposed to be talking out of order. Listen to the host when he's trying to control this. So, Ted Johnson.
Yes.
You're third in this little trifecta of three-point stances. Are you ready?
I'm ready, bub.
All right, roll it, Stiz.
All right, Stiz, go ahead. Play that John Waite song. Get that song going. You guys know the song. This song, Change, it's called Change. Great song. One of the best movies ever. Yeah, no, Vision Quest. All right, I'll get on with my three-point stance. So why no changes from the Red Sox? Why no changes? You see the Texas Rangers. We're almost a third of the way into the season. The Texas Rangers have the exact same record as the Boston Celtics, as the Red Sox do. And they got changed their hitting coach, for crying out loud. That was a big change. Really, what are the Red Sox? The only things I've really seen them do is move some guys around the lineup. Tristan Casas from 4 to 5 to 6 to 7. Maybe Trevor Story up a little bit here and there. Maybe Willier Abreu they've done. They've made some changes, but nothing really is earth-shattering that should shake up maybe the locker room and get a guy's attention. And you see, again, the Rangers getting a new hitting coach, and then they get 16 hits on you last night. So why the reluctancy to change, bring up maybe some of the younger kids? You don't see that. They are so hell-bent on trying to get the plan they had at the beginning of the season to work right now, and it ain't working, boys.
All right, Ted. Line.
Wait, you heard that song? Ken, you never heard that song?
I don't think I've ever heard it.
And you've never, Fitzy? You've never heard that song?
I don't think
you've heard this.
Yes.
Visit
yes.
Quest, though.
Of course.
There we go.
Okay, let me hear.
This is one of the best all-time pump-up songs. Matthew Modine. Are you kidding me? This the scene where he's doing the pegs up on the wall. He's
right.
Oh, whoa.
Ted almost just punched the lights out in the studio.
That was on.
Yes.
The other night somewhere I was scrolling through, and that's what I hit. He was climbing, and everybody stops to go watch him. Nobody.
They're watching Loudon Swain. Loudon Slow.
Yeah.
Climb the pegboard.
Saw that on my
iconic
IG.
Iconic, oh, right. Iconic soundtrack, which most famously features "Crazy for You" by Madonna.
It does, and also "Lunatic Fringe."
One of all right, rein it in, boys. We're not here to talk about 80s.
Ah, sorry, people were interested in what we were talking
music
about.
Music and yeah. No.
Right. Yes, they were.
Can we get back to what you were saying, though?
Yeehaw! So the Andy part of me wanted to react a certain way to your 3 points.
Oh, by all means. I'll shut up.
The Andy part of me is very simple. There's one answer to why they haven't reacted, changed.
And I think we know what the manager thinks.
He just told us, 2.5.
Yeah.
The number of games they are back, that they are in second place. And if they were in a different division, if they were in a different season, and they were now 7 games back and thought they were a good team, but we're 7 games back, we're digging a hole that we might not be, I think maybe there'd be a little bit more pressure to make changes. But they're a couple wins away from being first.
Is that an excuse that is okay with you? Or rationale or reason?
It is, because I'll go back to your boy, Parcells, who I asked Alex the question about your record is what you are what your record says you are kind of thing. But he also famously said, just get into the tournament, right? All you got to do is get in the tournament. And
yeah, he said a lot of things.
I know.
And once you get in, don't be the guy to screw us up and get out. Thanks, coach.
But you know, you're hanging with the Yankees, and if you can hang with them, doesn't matter what your record is, you can win the division because you're hanging with the Yankees, right? So that you can say that they're being maybe a little reluctant to make changes, but there's no impetus, right? There's no pressure, there's no deadline. There's no pressure. There's no, now, if that lead grows or changes, maybe that'll change their perspective on this. But I think that's the simple answer. A different time, different division, different year, whatever, well, it'd be different.
Yeah, but if your hitters, okay, so you were mentioning earlier the Breslow principle of a third of the way through the season, 54 yeah. games, which basically tracks with Memorial Day, which has always sort of been like the goalpost or the post marker for when you get to know your team or things should settle out, right? Well, by that point, if Jarren Duran really isn't in gear and Raffy still has single-digit home runs and the offense has stagnated, that's when you really should consider making a change.
No, but I would say it's too late. You need to start considering changes now.
And what changes are you, in your mind, sort of – are you talking about the Meyer, Roman Anthony?
Well, I'm talking about, you know, the I don't know, a pitching – I'm talking about maybe staff,
coaches.
Hitting coaches.
Pete Fatsy, the hitting coach,
like a big philosophy change in launch angles. Instead of maybe start playing, you have an athletic team. It makes no sense for a team that is touting how athletic they are to not have an element of small ball in their thinking when it comes to, they are 4-9 in one run games.
Yeah,
that is when you should be shorting in your swings, you know, just trying to get the ball in play. No, they're still swinging out of their ass. It's maddening to watch. So a philosophical change would be something I would suggest would be, I don't know, welcome to and might do them some good.
But isn't that
their hitting coach's job?
But doesn't it reek of desperation? So you have a philosophy that you honed or you prepared for in December and January. Then you brought it down to Florida, February and March. This is how we want to play. This is what we want to be. And then
it may be
a month and a half later, you're like, forget all that. That's not who.
But I've had a problem with the philosophy from the very beginning.
Yes.
So you can't tell me you have an athletic team, and then you don't play small ball. That, mm-hmm. that to me, I can't. It just doesn't even make sense.
It's contradictory. Yeah.
I can't even square that up. And I'm not even like a big baseball guy, but that doesn't even make sense to me. So it's hard for me to understand. Look, I know they won a bunch of home runs, but you lead the major leagues in strikeouts, and it wasn't just after the first week or the second week, the first month or the second month. It's like all season long.
Yeah, and also to sort of strengthen your argument, the mixed messaging or whatever you want to call it, the manager has told us on multiple occasions, I hate strikeouts. Strikeouts.
12 again last night.
Right, like, so your manager, who is, I know we get into this debate, is the boss of the baseball team. I know sometimes we're not sure about that, if the front office is actually the boss or computers are actually bosses, but he's the on-field boss of the baseball team, says he hates strikeouts and they keep striking out.
Yeah.
Like, that's tough to, you know, kind of bring together in your mind. Like, okay, change.
I've always said partly, I think they organizations do that way on purpose so that you never really know who to blame. That's it. So it's,
yeah,
it just has us all befuddled, and that's probably how they want us.
Well, also at the same time, like, I'm going to go with a smaller government approach to this right now, which, you know, may fly in the face of what you guys may expect to hear from me. But sometimes this is also just on the players. Sometimes you have to just think, you know what, Raffy Devers, you didn't necessarily show up in shape. Hey, Jarren Duran, you might be trying to do a little bit too much. Hey, Christian Campbell, take it easy. Your athleticism will ultimately lead you to do greater things for us offensively. Like, guys are just probably either pressing or they're doing too much.
It's 38 games of examples of how the players are adjusting, and they're not. So then it's time for someone to step in and make a change. You know, like, the players have gotten – I mean, a lot of these guys have gotten a lot of rope to kind of work through things.
And some have earned the rope, and some have less earned the rope, I would say. But and Casas, I would have put in that category. I don't know if he had the rope that
he did not, or else he would have been moved in the lineup like he was moved.
Right. So Fitzy, I actually wanted to get back to your – so this was a I won't say out-of-nowhere trade today. Everybody knew the Cowboys wanted wide receivers, and there was some speculation that George Pickens could get dealt.
Which comes, you know, as a bit of a surprise to me, though, while you gentlemen were baseball arguing, I did see on the social platforms that Jeremy Fowler said the Steelers are counting on a big year-two jump from Roman Wilson, the wide receiver they took out of Michigan last year.
I bet they get it. Because usually when the Steelers draft receivers, they do a pretty good job.
They're kind of the best, period. Yes. George Pickens is also, by all accounts, a very good receiver who could potentially be a stud once again. Maybe he flourishes in Dallas, or maybe, like some have speculated, he crashes out because he's going to be out of, as they call it, Tomlin's orbit. He is a handful and a half, and then some. That said, it still doesn't make up for the fact that we took Tyquan Thornton and they took George Pickens.
So you did not want the Patriots to even consider this. This is an interesting one.
I'd have preferred Metcalf over Pickens if I had my choice between the two.
Well, the Steelers would prefer that too. That's why they
made the order of operations.
Exactly. But Deontay Johnson's an interesting guy that everybody, I think, deemed toxic. He was that one guy, even Rich Keefe, who loves every receiver that's ever played, doesn't matter whether they
bat
down a house, anything.
Crotch chops.
Yeah, anything. He would take AB right now, I believe. But even he said Deontay Johnson is
a bad
person. Off the list. Mm-hmm. I think Pickens is an interesting one. I don't... What exactly are his mistakes,
toxic
traits? Yeah.
That's a good question. I have
for a team with Mike Vrabel and Josh McDaniels and Doug Marrone.
Let me put it to you this way. Okay. So you have an organization and a franchise like the Steelers and a head coach who has for years managed big egos at wide receiver position.
Yeah.
And for the first time ever, I mean, maybe not ever, but he hasn't been there that long, right?
He's 3 years.
If Mike Tomlin's ready to get rid of this guy, and he's had some of the characters he's had, Antonio Brown naming one of them, and others that were just hard to manage personality-wise, then something's up with this kid, in my opinion. Like, for them to get rid of him when they need all the firepower they can get on offense, because it is just a tough offense to watch, to me, then that's red flags all over the place. And it's interesting. I talked to my buddy down in Dallas who does radio about Brian Schottenheimer, the new head coach. All he's doing is talking about culture. And now you trade for a guy that's got issues. It's like, wait, you traded for Joe Milton, who now we're all starting to hear was an issue behind the scenes and sees himself as a starter. You traded for him, and now you got Pickens, who's got a history of having issues with the organization. And now the new head coach is saying culture. To me, Dallas is already a mess. Because to me, this is old Jer doing his thing and not really probably caring what the new head coach thinks.
This is a side note, and I actually wanted to ask you this. The culture thing in Dallas. Mm-hmm. The report was that Brian Schottenheimer unilaterally moved Micah Parsons' locker next to Dak Prescott.
That's correct.
They just showed up.
I that's exactly right.
What did you think of that? Like, how does that – that's like the elementary school teacher, like, you can't sit with your friends. I'm going to put you with somebody else. Like, how do you react to that as a professional?
A little bit like, huh? But if it works, if all of a sudden you start winning games, then it'll be genius. So you got to win. But there's going to be pushback from an organization that maybe isn't being used to held itself players being held accountable. If all of a sudden there's this strong arm that comes in and Schottenheimer's leading it, guys are going to push back initially unless you got to win. You got to win for these things to be accepted and not, you know, have issues.
And let's also consider that he's going someplace where there is a clearly established wide receiver one.
Oh, yeah.
CeeDee Lamb. Like, George Pickens, if you...
Well, that was the problem, that he's not good at working with other...
Number ones?
Yes.
So and is he going to be mad about this trade then?
Well, it doesn't sound... I haven't heard that. The only thing I've heard about from his vantage standpoint is that he is okay with not getting a long-term extension done right now.
Well, and I actually think that's good for the Cowboys. He needs to play well, keep his you-know-what together. Because he also saw Deontay Johnson, a teammate whose career spiraled very quickly, kind of out of control.
After he punched Mitch Trubisky
bounced
in the face.
From team to team. Like, he learned a lesson. Talent gets you in the league. Talent can keep you around for a little while, but if you're that big of a pain in the butt.
You only get so many chances.
Right, right. Yeah. So he needs to make this work in Dallas, either to stay with Dallas on a contract or to move on. But
I think he looks at this as an audition year, especially on a team that's going to have to be so offensive minded, because the NFC East is all of a sudden just wide open. Oh. Everybody is wild, and the Commanders are going for it. Period.
It's fun.
Your Eagles are the Super Bowl. This is the NFC North of the. Excuse me. This is the AFC North now. Wait, hold on. But the NFC North, the NFC is just going to be a phenomenal watch this year.